I'm Mark Bayshore. Last week on his HBO show, John Oliver of Last Week Tonight made a point about the broadcast media's reliance on print journalism. It was a mashup of references to newspaper stories by TV news hosts.
According to the Chicago Tribune.
According to the Detroit Free Press.
According to the San Francisco Chronicle.
According to the Times-Picayune.
The Boston Globe.
The Orlando Sentinel.
The Philadelphia Inquirer.
The Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
The Detroit News.
And the Houston Chronicle reports.
The Los Angeles Times reports.
Now, Oliver also revisited many profound changes that have transformed journalism, many would say for the worse. But perhaps the biggest of those changes, the internet, has also played a role in energizing another kind of reporting, citizen journalism. The internet has meant that ordinary citizens can play a greater role in reporting news. Today we'll talk with two Lansing area citizen journalists about what they do, why they do it, and the difference they're trying to make. First, Alice Drager. Alice is the founder, board president, and journalist at eastlansinginfo.org, a free East Lansing News website. Welcome back, Alice.
Thanks.
Also, Steve Harry, who wears all the hats, researcher, reporter, fact checker, editor, you name it, at steveharrypublicpolicy.com. Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
Alice Drager, we had you on just as East Lansing Info was launching a couple of years ago. Remind us why you launched East Lansing Info.
Well, I could see, as somebody who does journalism at the national level, exactly what John Oliver was describing, namely that local news was dying because of the internet. What was going on was groups like Gannett were buying up local newspapers. They own, for example, the Lansing State Journal, and basically reducing the number of reporting staff as much as possible to maximize profits. And it's not that the LSJ reporters are bad. They're terrific reporters, and they do really important work. But they've been cut back, and that meant that we don't have news reporting on East Lansing. Frankly, what sells well in terms of clicks is things like murders and scandals, and East Lansing doesn't have a lot of murders and scandals. What we do have is tax problems, budget issues, sidewalk concerns, festivals. And so we really needed reporting on those kinds of issues, and I could see that that was really lacking. When I myself went to city council meetings, there was so much going on that my neighbors didn't know about. They were voting in ways that were completely uneducated. They didn't understand why their taxes kept going up. So I really felt it was important to bring local news to the people of East Lansing so that they could be educated voters, so they could be engaged citizens, so they could get to know each other, and they could get to feel like East Lansing was a real place.
And Steve Harry, you're a one-man operation, I take it, one guy doing research, writing stories, and opinion as well. How did you get started?
Well, I ran for state representative against Joan Bauer in 2008, and I created a website for that, and then when I lost badly in that, I took some of the issues that I'd posted about my campaign and transferred that to just a general website to talk about issues, policy. So that was the start of it, and I think I've always been interested in issues and needed a place to put it besides writing letters to the newspaper. So the web came along, and it was a great thing.
Alice has spoken about what she's trying to accomplish with East Lansing Info. At the end of the day, what are you trying to accomplish with your modest operation?
Well, I'm interested in making change, I think, to policy and state law and local law and everything, so I'm interested in several different areas, no specific area.
Who's public policy? Oh, okay, so you move around state of Michigan, city of Lansing, Ingham County.
Even national issues.
Okay. Alice, is there a focus on particular issues at East Lansing Info?
We focus very specifically on what's of concern to people in East Lansing. So we don't cover national. We rarely even cover county level stuff unless there's some specific thing affecting specifically East Lansing. And we use a model that's a nonpartisan, non-editorial, non-commercial model. So we're basically similar to public radio, except that we are online only and we're print, essentially online. So we try very hard to be a place where people can come for accurate, factual news. We try to be comprehensive. Obviously, we can't cover everything. But one of the services we provide, for example, is our weekly council capsule, which one of us goes to the council meeting and sits through the entire thing and writes up everything that happened at council in terms of a summary. So that even includes the consent agenda, things like little tiny budget items being passed. We make sure
that— You don't cherry pick. You put it all
out
there.
We cover it all. Yeah. And I sometimes joke about, you know, sending it out over Facebook and Twitter as, here's your weekly boring council capsule. Except there's always something interesting going on. And often it is the subtle stuff in the consent agenda, which is a non-discussed agenda that's going on. And so we really dig through hard through the agendas of what's going on. So last week, for example, I went to Transportation Commission because I could smell something on the agenda was interesting. Normally, I don't go to Transportation Commission, but it turned out I was correct. There were three really interesting things going on at Transportation Commission. One was discussion of how to get bikes to finally be really tolerated in East Lansing. One was the bus rapid transit, the BRT project. And the other one was the corner, the blighted corner in East Lansing. The developer was there to talk about what they were going to do in terms of traffic. And that meant I got the scoop on the story of what they're planning to build at that corner. And we were the only people, we're still the only news organization to have the news about what they're planning to build there.
We're talking with local citizen journalist Alice Drager of ELI, that stands for East Lansing Information, a free East Lansing news website at eastlansinginfo.org. Also, Steve Harry joins us. Steve researches and writes about local policy at steveharrypublicpolicy.com. Steve, every news gatherer wants to break important news or advance important news. Can you look at your work and say, hey, I made a difference here, or I moved this forward, or I put this on the table?
One instance, I don't know if it really caught the public attention, but I did post some information on Peter Lark's salary and his rapid increases in salaries after he took the position. And I had that out there long before it became known that he had this huge golden parachute when he did leave here recently. Now, problem is that you could look back and say, oh, I told you so, but it didn't. I don't have enough readership that it actually made news at the time.
You are a one-man thing, though. Do you get any help from anybody, or
is it all you?
Alice, what about ELI? How many people are involved in this effort?
A huge number, actually. And part of what we're trying to do is cultural change. We're trying to get citizens to feel more awake, more like journalists in their own town. And so Ann Nichols, who's a lawyer, actually runs our operation as our managing editor and does a phenomenal job bringing in reporters, managing stories, bringing a mix to the people of East Lansing. We've had now about 80 people be reporters for us. Some of them just are one-time reporters, but many of them are regular reporters. Right now we have about 12 regular reporters reporting on a regular basis. When I do payroll next week, I'll probably write 14 checks for this month. We run right now on about $45,000 a year. It's a very small operation financially, and that's because a lot of people donate their service and everybody else is underpaid. We are supported by our donors. So far, 100% donor funded. And we're succeeding, but it is a difficult thing to do in terms of making the money work. But part of what we're trying to do is get people to realize everybody can be a reporter and get people focused on the idea that they need to do reporting in a way that's accurate, factual, nonpartisan, so we can bring news to the people that's accurate.
Steve Harry, do you know how many readers you have? Is there a way to know that? Do you track that?
Yeah, it's somewhere over 3,000, but yeah, I think about 3,000.
Do you know who your readers are?
Yes.
Is there a pattern
exactly
there to who reads your stuff?
Whoever I send my, I have a list of emails, and I send everybody a notice when I post something new.
Okay.
So I know exactly who they are.
Alice, what about you? How many web visitors do you have? And do you know who your readers are?
We do, because we've done all the analytics possible to try to figure out who those folks are. They're people focused in East Lansing, although we have a few people in towns neighboring by. We have thousands of readers every week. We have 1.9 thousand likes on our Facebook page now. We have about 700 people signed up on our Twitter account. We have hundreds of people signed up on our weekly digest. Our weekly digest is free, and it gives you a full rundown of everything that we reported that week and what's coming up the next week in East Lansing. So we've seen our influence rise tremendously. And I also see it in ways that are not measurable in terms of numbers, but things like when I now go to the Downtown Development Authority with a new reporter who I'm showing the ropes to, the people on the DDA make a point of coming over and saying hello and meeting the new reporter, whereas a year ago they kind of didn't want to talk to me so much. So we're definitely seeing the influence. We see things like with the ethics ordinance that was passed by our city council, which they're not actually following, that when we report that they're not following their own ethics agenda, it ends up back on their agenda to discuss. So we see the influence of our work out there. We saw, for example, the last city council election, one of the highest rates of voting in terms of people going out and voting. And we believe that's because we bothered to bring people campaign finance information, voting records, information about the candidates that was actually meaningful. And for the first time, they didn't only have to rely on what gets mailed to them by the candidates. We could actually give them much more information about who's who.
Steve, Alice is going to write, I think, a dozen checks, you said, here at the end of the month. Do you realize any dollar gain from what you do?
This is all a drain on my pension. I pay for it all, and it doesn't cost very much. It costs me about $150 a year to have the website. Beyond that, it's just a freedom of information request once in a while.
And I should mention, Mark, I don't get paid by East Lansing Info. I donate about 30 to 40 hours a week, and I would agree with Steve. It's a drain on my time and a drain on my money. We're also, my husband and I are the lead financial donors to Eli, so I don't make money off of it. I'm doing it because I think it's a critical public service to educate the people of East Lansing about their own town.
We're talking with local citizen journalist Alice Drager of Eli, East Lansing Information. That's at eastlansinginfo.org. Also, Steve Harry, who researches and writes about local policy at steveharrypublicpolicy.com. Steve, I know some trained journalists, college-educated in journalism, think that only a certain amount of training can result in a truly competent journalist. What do you think?
Well, I think it would certainly help. I think one thing I'm lacking is knowledge about how to do research and where to find information and that sort of thing. So although I can do quite a lot, there's probably a lot of areas that I'm lacking, and a little training would have helped.
But to the extent that you do consider yourself qualified, what qualifies you?
I think I started out in my job as a procedure writer, so I learned how to write fairly clearly, and so I'm able to put ideas across fairly well, maybe a unique perspective.
I think minus any formal education, I imagine the learning process is rich, even if you do have a degree in journalism. Here, you jump into this business, you learn a lot.
You do. And, you know, I have a background as a historian. So my PhD is in history and philosophy of science. And so I know how to do historical research. But you're right. Ann is a lawyer, our managing editor, Ann Nichols. But even the two of us continue to learn things about how to do research. But a lot of it is perseverance. And a lot of it is just a willingness to make sure that we're comprehensive in terms of trying to understand all the sources and ask people the questions. So we train our reporters that, you know, there are ways you can look things up, but the main thing you need to do as a reporter is be open to the facts and have perseverance. Just press and press and press in terms of trying to find out what's really going on. That means using the Freedom of Information Act. It means calling people. You know, it means picking up the phone. And last week, I had to, or 2 weeks ago, called the Department of Environmental Quality, the DEQ, about a question about East Lansing. Or you pick up the phone and you call the EPA in Chicago and you ask them questions.
Steve Harry, how long do you intend to be doing this?
I'm enjoying it.
So. Do you have a vision of the future, or is it just is the future as stripped down as the present?
I don't think that I'm going to be stopping anytime soon.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
But do you intend to grow your operation at all? Or do you like the independence of just being a one-man shop?
I think it works real well the way it is.
Yeah. No, I can understand the appeal of that, to tell you the truth. Alice, Eli's just a couple of years old. You're at it and appear to be growing. Do you expect to be at this a long time?
I would ultimately love to become just a reporter for Eli. That's the part of it I enjoy. Like Steve, that's the part I really enjoy doing. But I would love to replace myself on the board and certainly replace myself as the person who runs the small business, because running a small business turns out to be a heck of a lot of work. And that's not where my interests lie. But I'm willing to do that as long as I have to bring the people of East Lansing the news that our terrific reporters are bringing them, because I think my team is doing a phenomenal job. And I love employing people who are stay-at-home parents, retirees, people who are students. We have East Lansing High high school students, MSU students, LCC students. We've got folks from all over the community working to basically share a community vision of accurate information and lots of news.
You both got into this to some extent because you both feel strongly about issues and policy. Is it challenging transitioning from engaged and opinionated to detached and objective? What about you, Steve?
I don't really feel a great need to be objective. That's the nice thing about this is I can report facts and try to get all the information correctly, but I can also inject a lot of opinion and a point of view to it.
What about Eli? Is there opinion on Eli? And what about that difference between being opinionated and being objective?
Well, you know, objectivity is a goal. It's not a magical thing you can somehow simply reach just by wanting to get there. But we work really hard on checking each other to try to remove any kind of editorial statements. We try to watch really carefully the way that we're shaping stories. But I'll tell you, the thing I feel really non-objective and passionate about is the idea that bringing news to people is something that's critically important in a democracy. So when at the last council election, for example, I went and voted, and then my son and I spent the evening at the city clerk's office looking at the returns, and I felt very strongly that I really was so excited by the voter turnout. It didn't matter to me who got elected. I just felt like we had helped people feel that voting mattered. Mm-hmm. And so I was just so excited to see the numbers of people going to the precincts. What depressed me is the students were not engaged. We saw very low student turnout. But what we saw all over town was numbers that we hadn't seen before in terms of people coming out to vote. And that just made me feel really super excited.
We want to thank both of our guests, local citizen journalist Alice Drager of Eli. That's East Lansing Information, a free East Lansing news website at eastlansinginfo.org. Also, many thanks to Steve Harry, who researches and writes about local policy at steveharrypublicpolicy.com. Thanks to both of you, and good luck.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.